This is Audible.
Hachette Audio presents Beneath This Man, written by Jodie Ellen Malpas, read by Adita Brichter. Chapter 25. I spit toothpaste all over the mirror on a shocked gasp, and the toothbrush clatters into the sink. I stare down at my left hand, which suddenly feels like lead, and clench the edge of the vanity unit to steady myself. Then I blink a few times and shake my head like it might go away, like it's a hallucination or something. But no, I'm face to face and being blinded by a dirty great big diamond sitting loud and proud on my ring finger.
Jesse!
I screech, and then start feeling my way along the edge of the vanity unit until I'm close enough to the chaise lounge to stagger and collapse onto it. My head goes between my legs as I try to control my breathing and my sprinting heart. I think I'm going to pass out. I hear him fly through the bathroom door, but I can't persuade my heavy head to lift from between my legs.
Ava, baby, what's wrong?
His voice is freaked as he collapses to his knees in front of me, spreading his hands on my thighs. I can't speak. There's a lump in my throat the size of the diamond that's weighing my left hand down.
Ava, God help me. What's happened?
He gently pulls my head up and searches out my eyes. His are flooded with despair, while mine are flooded with tears.
Please, tell me.
I swallow, in an attempt to spit out some words, but it's not working, so I hold my hand up. Oh, God, it feels so heavy. I watch through glazed eyes as his frown line jumps into position and he flicks his confused eyes from mine to my hand.
You found it, then, he says dryly. You took your bloody time. Jesus, Ava, I had 1,000 heart attacks.
He takes my hand and presses his lips to the top of it, right next to my new friend.
Do you like it?
Oh, God, I cry incredulously. I'm not even going to ask how much it cost. This is too much responsibility. A rush of breath escapes my lips as I quickly lift my hand up to my chest in search of my other friend.
It's in the safe.
He grabs my hand and pulls it down to join my other in my naked lap. I sag in relief as he rubs his thumbs over the tops of my hands and smiles.
Tell me, do you like it?
You know I do. I look down at the ring. It's platinum. The flat band loaded with a dazzling square-cut diamond. I look up at him. I know my brow is wrinkled in confusion. I might need that Botox voucher after all.
When did you put this on my finger?
His lips form a straight line.
Right after I cuffed you.
My eyes widen.
That's rather confident of you.
He shrugs.
A man can be optimistic.
You call it optimistic? I call it pig-headedness. He grins.
Call it whatever the fuck you like. She said yes.
He dives on me and tackles my naked body down to the cold, hard bathroom floor, rolling me onto my back and burying his face between my boobs. I laugh as he ravishes me.
Stop! No.
He bites my boob and sucks it into his mouth.
I'm marking you.
Even if I could stop him, I wouldn't. He's the only one who will see me. I let him do his thing and thread my fingers through his hair, gaping again when my eyes fall on the ring. I can't believe he put it on before he asked me, the arrogant ass. How did I not notice it?
Distracted. Challenged. There. He kisses his mark chastely. Now we match.
I look down at the perfect circle he has made on my breast, and then to Jesse, who's studying his handiwork with satisfaction.
Happy? I ask. I am. You?
Delighted.
Good. My work here is done. Next job. Feed my temptress. Up you get.
He pulls me up to my feet.
Are you coming down any time soon?
I'll be 5 minutes, ish.
Ish.
He leans in to bite my ear.
Be quick.
He slaps my bum and leaves me again. A huge smile spreads across my flushed face.
I said yes.
I have absolutely no doubts, none at all. I belong with Jesse. I have a quick shower before grabbing his dress shirt from the floor and putting it on with some jersey shorts. I cross the landing and remember the post that I've still not given to Jesse, so taking a quick detour to the cream room, I grab the post from the unit before taking the stairs, ignoring the fact that I've been away from him for 20 minutes-ish, and I miss him already. I find him in the kitchen with his finger in a jar of peanut butter and looking intently at the screen of his laptop. I sigh at his beautiful face, concentrating hard, then wrinkle my nose in distaste as he pops his goo-covered finger in his mouth.
Here, I forgot to give you these.
I hand him the post and pour myself some orange juice.
You open them.
I spot my car keys on the worktop. My car's back?
John dropped it off, he says, continuing to study whatever he has on the screen of his computer.
I smile to myself at the image of Big John driving my little Mini.
Are you religious?
He asks casually. I frown into my juice. No.
Me either. Do you have any preference on dates?
What for? I sound confused, which is fine because I am. He looks up at me with a heavy frown.
Is there any particular date you would like to become, Mrs. Ava Ward?
I don't know, I shrug.
Next year? The year after?
I grab some toast and start buttering. He only asked me half an hour ago. I need a chance to wake up properly. There is plenty of time for all of that, and I need to speak to my parents for a start. He drops his jar of peanut butter on the marble island, making me jump.
Next year? He exclaims with a look of pure disgust.
Okay, the year after.
Next year is a bit soon, I suppose.
I cut my toast in half and wrap my teeth around a corner.
The year after?
I look at him and find his handsome face contorted in total disbelief.
I really don't mind. The year after that, then, it's no bother to me.
I shrug and carry on chewing my toast. His expression morphs into a scowl.
We get married next month.
He picks up his jar and shoves his finger in aggressively. I nearly choke on my toast, and then chew frantically to rid my mouth of it.
Next month? Is he mad?
Jesse, I can't marry you next month.
Yes, you can, and you will.
He snaps without looking at me. I withdraw slightly. I've not even told my mum and dad that I'm living with him, let alone marrying him. I need time.
No, I can't, I half laugh.
His fierce eyes fly to mine, and he smacks his jar down. It makes me jump again.
Excuse me, he says, his voice genuinely shocked.
Jesse, my parents don't even really know about you. You can't expect me to call them up and break this sort of news down the phone.
I silently beg for him to be reasonable. I've seen that face plenty of times, and it always suggests that he's not budging.
We'll go and see them. I'm not pussyfooting around, Ava.
I take a nervous sip of my orange juice while he drills displeased eyes into me. The thought of introducing Jessie to my parents fills me with dread. I'm wilting under his fierce gaze, but I have to hold my own here.
You're being unreasonable. We can't organize a wedding in a month anyway.
I take another bite of my toast and soak up the resentment emanating from every pore of my challenging man.
Do you love me?
He asks sharply. I look at him with narrowed eyes. Don't ask stupid questions.
Good,
he grunts with utter finality, returning his attention to his laptop.
I love you too. We get married next month.
I drop my toast in exasperation.
Jessie, I'm not marrying you next month.
I get up from my stool and take my plate to the bin to get rid of my half-eaten breakfast. I've completely lost my appetite.
Come here, he growls to my back.
I swing around to face him, finding the fierceness is back.
No,
I toss at him. His eyes widen. And you are not going to be fucking an agreement out of me. Forget it.
Watch your fucking mouth, Ava.
His face screws up, and his lips press into a straight line as he pins me in place with his glare.
3.
Oh, no, I laugh. Don't even think about it.
2.
No.
1.
Jessie, you can fuck right off.
I scorn myself for my bad language, which has probably just heightened his annoyance.
Mouth,
he barks.
0.
He starts making his way around the island to me, and I instinctively start circling the other way.
Come here,
he grinds the words out. I ensure I remain on the other side of the island from him.
Now what's the rush? I'm not going anywhere.
Damn right you're not. Why are you delaying it?
He continues calmly coming at me.
I'm not delaying. It takes a good year to organize a wedding.
Not our wedding.
He thrusts his body forward threateningly, and I dive in the opposite direction.
Stop running from me, Ava. You know it makes me crazy mad.
Then stop being unreasonable.
I almost laugh when he suddenly changes direction and I dive off the other way.
Ava!
Jessie!
I mock, weighing up the likelihood of making it through the arch and up the stairs before he catches me. I don't fancy my chances. He sprints toward me and I screech, darting off toward the archway. I know I'll never make it up the stairs, so I fly into the gym and try to shut the glass door. He's up against the other side, pushing against me, but I know he's holding back so he doesn't hurt me.
Let go of the door,
he yells.
What are you going to do?
He immediately lets up on the pressure and looks at me through the glass, with slight concern etched on his face.
What do you think I'm going to do?
I don't know. I lie.
I know damn well what he's going to do. He's going to hit me with a sense fuck. But my busy hands, pushing up against the door, prevent my fingers from delving into my hair. His trepidation seems to intensify, and the pressure on the door lessens further. I take advantage and slam it shut, flipping the lock. His mouth drops open.
You didn't just do that.
He tries the handle of the door. I step back.
Ava, open the door.
I shake my head. His bare chest starts heaving violently.
Ava, you know how it makes me feel if I can't lay my hands on you. Open the door.
No. Tell me, we can discuss our wedding reasonably.
We were.
He tries the door handle again, and the door shakes.
Ava, please open the door.
No. We weren't discussing it, Jessie. You were telling me how it's going to be. You've really never had a relationship, have you?
No, I've told you this.
I can tell. You're shit at it.
His anxious green eyes flip to mine.
I love you, he says softly, like that explains everything. Please, open the door.
Do you agree?
I know how much he hates not being able to get to me, and this is taking advantage of his weakness. But it's the only weakness I know. So if I have to use it, then I will, especially for something of this magnitude.
His teeth are going 10 to the dozen on his bottom lip as he mulls over my demand.
I agree. Open the door.
He grasps the handle, but then I think of something else, something that will have cause for another countdown later. I may as well kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
I'm going out with Kate later, I say daringly.
His eyes bulge, as I knew they would.
What?
Last night, I told you that I was going out with Kate, I remind him.
And? Open the door.
You can't stop me from seeing my friend. If I'm going to marry you, it's not so you can control my every move. I'm going out with Kate later, and you're going to let me, without a fuss.
My voice is calm and assertive, although inside I'm bracing myself for a sense-fucking to rival all those that have come before.
You're pushing your luck, lady.
His jaw clenches, and I exhale a weary breath.
I'm pushing my luck because I want to go out with my friend? I turn my back on him and take myself to the weights bench, sitting down and making myself comfortable. I'm not opening that door until he relents, so I might be here a while.
Ava, what are you doing? Open the fucking door!
I watch as he shakes the door frantically.
God, I love him, but he's got to ease up on the unreasonable demands and protectiveness.
I'm not opening that door until you start being more reasonable. If you want to marry me, then you need to loosen up.
He looks at me like I'm stupid.
It's not unreasonable to worry about you.
You don't worry, Jesse. You torture yourself.
Open the door!
He jiggles the handle again. I'm going out with Kate later.
Fine, but you're not drinking. Open the fucking door!
Oh, yes. I should be challenging him on that, too. But I think I've probably given him enough heart attacks for one morning. He looks beside himself, which is ridiculous. I'm right here. On a sigh, I stand up and walk to the door, flipping the lock and standing back before I put him in an early grave. He barrels in and yanks me to his chest, taking us to the floor on one of the cushioned mats. He completely smothers me with his body and breathes heavily into my hair.
Please don't do that to me again, he pleads.
His anxiety on this matter is one of his most unreasonable parts.
Promise me.
It's the only way I can get you to listen to me. I try and placate him as I stroke his back, feeling his heart hammering against my chest.
I listen. Just don't put anything between us again.
You can't be with me all of the time.
I know. But it will be on my terms when I can't be.
I laugh and throw my arms over my head.
What about me?
He pulls his head back and scowls at me.
I'll listen, he mutters grumpily. You're being very challenging, wife-to-be.
He buries his face in my neck on a sulk.
Oh, he is so thick-skinned.
I don't bother arguing with him on that, though. I had expected to be thrust up against the wall and fucked to within an inch of my life after my delinquencies, so the fact that he's just holding me is a bit of a surprise. Maybe I found my bargaining tool. He sits up and drags me onto his lap.
Why don't you go to the manor for a drink?
Absolutely not.
Why?
He looks insulted.
So you can keep an eye on me?
It's logical. You can have a drink, I can make sure you're safe, and then I can bring you home.
He really does make it sound logical. But I'm not making a rod for my own back. I'll never set foot in the bar again.
No. End of.
He pouts, and I shake my head to affirm my answer. And anyway, she will be there, throwing her looks and nasty little comments about. Not a chance.
Impossible woman, he sulks, standing with me in his arms.
I'm placed on my feet and given a chaste kiss.
I'm going to get a shower. You'll come.
He arches a suggestive eyebrow and hits me with his roguish grin. I don't mind so much when he demands things like that. I'll be up in a minute. I need to call Kate. I pull myself from his grip and make my way back to the kitchen.
Where's my phone?
Charging on the side. Don't be long.
I find my phone and ring Kate.
Hello?
Her croaky voice comes over the phone. She sounds hungover.
Hey, feeling bad?
No, tired. What time is it?
I glance at the oven.
11.
Shit,
she exclaims, and I hear a commotion in the background.
Samuel, you loser, I'm late.
Ava, I'm supposed to be in Chelsea delivering a cake. I'll call you later.
Hey, are we still on for tonight?
I shout before she hangs up on me.
Of course. Are you still allowed?
Yes. I'll be at yours at 7.
Brill. See you then.
I hang up and my phone immediately alerts me of a text message. I open it as the penthouse monitor system starts bleeping at me, and walking over to the cordless device that will connect me to Clive, I glance down to my screen. My blood runs cold. It's Michael. I don't want to look at it, but my thumb presses down on the open button before I can convince my brain to delete it without reading it.
I can't make Monday. I'm back in Denmark temporarily. I will be in touch upon my return to rearrange our meeting.
My stomach flies up to my mouth, choking me, and my phone starts to shake in my hand. What the hell am I going to do? I delete the message immediately, knowing Jesse's bad phone manners will have him finding it. I don't reply either. At least I've got a bit more time to figure this out and to speak to Patrick. How long will he be gone? How long have I got to prepare for that meeting? I contemplate texting him back to tell him I already know about his wife and Jesse, but then the intercom shrieks again, startling me. I answer to Clive.
Ava, there's a delivery here for you. I'll be up in a minute.
I don't have a chance to ask what it is or whom it's from. Clive hangs up. I walk back into the kitchen, apprehensive and nervous, and start scrolling through my phone, searching for the pin feature so I can prevent Jesse from intercepting any more messages that Michael might send. He's going to get so suspicious when he finds it's got a lock on it, but I would rather deal with his slighted state than deal with a 6-foot-3-inch whirlwind flying through the penthouse. I open the door and hear the elevator arrive. Then the unmistakable sound of Clive grumbling. Curiously walking toward the elevator, I find Clive heaving box after box and bag after bag.
Ava, you have a serious problem. I think you are what they call a shopaholic. Do you want it all inside?
He huffs.
Yeah.
I look and see Harrod's bags and gift boxes everywhere. What the hell? I'm like a spare part, holding the door open, mouth gaped, as Clive hoofs them all through and dumps them in the penthouse. I can't believe he's done this. Why didn't I suspect something was amiss when he so willingly let me have my way when bargaining with him? Or let me think I got my way, more to the point? The man must have blown a ridiculous amount of money yesterday. Clive dumps the last bag and starts making his way back to the door.
That's your lot. Was there anything left?
I look bewilderedly up at Clive's back. Pardon? He turns and frowns.
At the store. Did you buy them out?
Yeah. Thanks, Clive.
Oh, a young lady stopped by, Clive informs me, but then instantly clamps his mouth shut, obviously realizing his error. That soon snaps me from my dazed state.
Really?
His old eyes are wide. I don't know. He starts walking back. Actually, maybe it was for a different resident. Can't be sure. He laughs nervously. It's my age.
Short black hair? I ask.
He said mature when referring to the blonde wavy one, who I now know to be Michael's wife, or ex-wife.
Can't be sure, Ava.
I actually feel a little sorry for him. The poor man shouldn't have to deal with this.
Let's keep this quiet, shall we?
Oh? He looks relieved.
Yes, you don't tell Jessie about the young woman, and I won't tell anyone about our neighbor's habits.
He sucks in a sharp gasp.
Oh, yes. I play dirty, old man.
I walk over and shut the door in his face. Can my poor brain cope with much more?
I'm not telling Jessie. I don't want him contacting Coral, helping her, seeing her.
I'm brimming with uncertainties and fear, battling raging jealousy, and I've just set myself up for a lifetime of this. I agreed to marry him. Am I stupid? Jessie's phone starts screaming from the kitchen, and I find myself following the ringtone until I'm standing at the island looking down at the screen. Rightly or wrongly, I answer it, disregarding my conscience that is currently advising me I'm a hypocrite.
Coral?
I say evenly and clearly. There is silence, but she doesn't hang up.
Coral, what do you want?
Is Jessie there?
Her voice is small,
and I'm a touch surprised that she hasn't hung up.
He's in the shower. Can I help you?
I sound polite, but with an edge of irritation.
No, I need to speak to him.
She doesn't sound polite. She sounds affronted.
Coral, you need to stop bothering him.
I need to make myself clear here, as Jessie seems to have grown a conscience.
Ava, isn't it?
I'm not sure I like her tone.
That's right.
Ava, he'll make you need him, then abandon you. Walk away while you still can. She hangs up.
I stand with Jessie's phone suspended at my ear, my eyes darting around the kitchen, my mind swamped again, and try to convince my brain that she is just envious. All of these women are jealous and slighted because Jessie plays them all off, used them and tossed them away when he was bored or finished with them. I know how I felt when I was without him. So if that is how all of these women feel, then I completely get it. I feel very sorry for them, but it's not my fault they can't stand the fact that he has changed his ways for me, not for any one of them, for me. He has stopped drinking for me. He has stopped his dabbling for me. It's his history, a nasty history, but history nevertheless. I straighten my shoulders in my own little private display of determination. I will never walk away from him. He has made me need him, but I know he needs me, too. I'm going nowhere. Sliding his phone on the counter, I walk back into the living space and stand with my arms hugging my body, looking at the mountain of shopping bags and boxes before me. I don't know whether to be excited or furious. He disregards my opinions and wishes at every turn with his neurotic, challenging ways, and now I fear I'm becoming neurotic and challenging as well. I kneel on the floor and gingerly poke one of the bags, peeking inside cautiously, like something could jump out and attack me.
Huh? That wasn't in my like pile.
I pull out a navy silk Calvin Klein dress.
That was in my maybe pile. I open a box and find a structured cream and black Chloe dress. That was in the no pile. It was way over my set price threshold. Oh, no. They've mixed it all up. I pull another bag toward me and find a pair of baggy-fitting diesel jeans. Okay, they weren't in any pile. I work my way through all of the bags and boxes, also finding lace underwear in every design and color you could imagine. God only knows how long later, I'm sitting in the middle of the floor, surrounded by a mass of clothes, shoes, bags, and accessories. Every single item I tried on is here, except for the gown. All of the likes, the nose, the maybes, and a whole lot more that I didn't try. I know there must be a mistake, because even the slate Chloe dress is here, and Jessie would never have willingly bought that for me. I do love it, though. I flop back onto the floor and gaze up at the high ceilings of the penthouse. This is just way too much. The gown, the necklace, the ring, and now all of this. I'm completely overwhelmed and feeling a bit suffocated. I don't want all of this stuff. I just want him, without the history, without the other women, and without the complication of Michael. Hey, baby. Jessie's wet, handsome face appears, floating above me. I've been waiting for you. What's up? I scoff and signal in the general direction of the designer jumble sale surrounding me. Can he not see it all? He looks around, completely unfazed by the piles and piles of women's wear flanking me. It arrived then. I make a dramatic display of throwing my arms back in exasperation, and he exhales to match my drama before lying down next to me. Look at me, he orders softly. I turn my face to his and get an injection of his fresh, minty breath. What's the problem? This is too much, I complain. I just want you. He smiles, his eyes twinkling with pleasure. I'm glad, but I've never had anyone to share my money with, Ava. Please humor me. People will think I'm marrying you for your money. I say it how it is. I've already faced the accusation. I couldn't give a fuck what people think. It's all about us. He twists onto his side and pulls at my hip so I'm mirroring him. Now shut up. You won't have any money left if you spend like you did yesterday, I grumble quietly. Ava, I said, shut up. Make me, I counter on a half smile. And he does. He eats me alive, amongst half of the Harrods women's department. Chapter 26. I walk into the bedroom after a fresh shower and shake my head at Jessie, who sprawled on his back across the bed, wearing only his tight white boxer shorts and making a damn effective point of letting me know he's not happy. I sit myself in front of the floor-length mirror and start drying my hair. We've spent all day carting the obscene amount of clothes and accessories up the stairs. I now have my own side of the colossal walk-in wardrobe, and had a very happy man, until I started to get myself ready for my night out with Kate. His contented mood soon dulled, but with Tom and Victoria joining us, and a whole heap of shit to dump on Kate, I'm looking forward to it. And Jessie has got to learn to share. I finish my hair and turn the dryer off to hear heaving, huffing, and puffing coming from the bed. He's behaving like a schoolboy, so I ignore him and make my way into the bathroom to cream up and get my makeup on. I'm amid mascara application when he walks in, all casual, and lies himself down on the chaise lounge with an almighty exhale of air, his lean body reclining coolly and his arms draping over his head, accentuating every fine muscle on his torso. I try to ignore him, but Jesse prancing around in a pair of white, tight Armani boxer shorts is very distracting. He's doing this on purpose. I make a hasty retreat from the bathroom to find my underwear and something to wear. That could take some time, especially with Jesse's critical eyes watching over me, but I don't even make it to my newly appointed underwear drawer before I'm seized and slung onto the bed, minus one towel. I should have known. He's going to trample me, mark me, and send me out with his scent all over me, the bloody neurotic control freak. I'm flipped over onto my hands and knees, and my legs spread as he grasps my waist, efficiently restraining me. "You won't come," he growls as he plunges two fingers into me, stretching me and preparing me. The sudden invasion has me burying my face in the bedding to stifle my cry. He's going to leave me pre-orgasm. I know he is.
"This is for my pleasure, not yours," he grates firmly.
He starts circling my entrance, and I moan into the bed in desolation. This is ultimate torture. He knows exactly what he's doing. I stiffen all over in response to his touch.
"Relax, Ava. I don't want to hurt you."
He pushes into me with his fingers, my natural instinct having me tensing my muscles in an attempt to prevent his invasion. I cry out.
"Relax,"
he yells, and I will my body to obey his command, but it's not having any of it. I'm fighting the inevitable, which will be Jesse abandoning me before I explode. I don't want to go out this evening full of pent-up pressure in my groin. I want to be sated and relaxed, and he can do that. The bloody ass! I feel him position himself at my opening. I whimper.
"Damn it, Ava."
His tone is full of aggravation.
"Stop fighting me."
"You're going to desert me, aren't you? You're not going to see me through."
"That's my call, baby."
He slaps my backside.
"Relax."
"I can't." The sting radiates through me from his swift collide, and he yells in frustration at my nonconformity as he reaches underneath me to brush his fingers over my pulsing center.
"Oh!"
I relax instantly as the connection of his heated touch blasts my senses and rockets me forward, flicking the switch that he has a direct link to. A sea of intense pleasure drowns me, and I start a hasty build-up toward a furious climax. I try and grab it and keep hold, but he withdraws his fingers.
"No!"
I shout, completely frustrated.
"Oh, yes."
His fingers re-enter me, sweeping through me, his thumb skimming across the very tip of my clitoris, prompting me to push back in a desperate attempt to try and capture more friction. He pulls out, spreading the moisture up my crease.
"No, Jesse!"
I feel his solid cock pushing against my opening. "Please!"
"You love it, Ava."
He advances, breaching me, slowly and with control.
"Oh, fuck!"
I could cry with fury and frustration, but it doesn't stop me from pushing back, taking him all of the way. I know I'm not going to come, but I can't help myself. He yells, grabs my waist, and then thunders forward, knocking every scrap of air from my lungs.
"Oh, God!"
I scream as he fills me completely. He charges forward, giving me no time to adjust to him. He means business.
"Oh, Ava,"
he pants, holding himself inside me.
"You feel fucking amazing, baby."
He grinds himself against me on a long, drawn-out moan, and I concentrate on getting my ragged breaths under control.
"Brace yourself on the headboard."
I take a deep breath and reach up to wrap my hands around one of the wooden planks, crying out as the change in position has him penetrating me deeper. He holds still,
as I follow through on his orders, running his palm down my spine gently. The fireworks crackling at my core are bordering painful.
Do you have a good grip?
Yes, I spit shortly, earning myself a swift slap across my backside. I'm going to scream, and he's not even done with me yet. Why the hell am I not stopping this? I hear him suck in a sharp breath as he starts withdrawing from me, the fullness alleviating slightly, but then I'm thrust forward as he re-enters me on a punishing drive. I scream again.
Brace your arms, Ava.
He repeats the delectable move, and I stiffen my arms and rest my sweating forehead on my forearm. Jesse, please, I beg.
It feels good, doesn't it? He asks, his voice carnal and hungry.
Yes.
You love me taking you hard, don't you, Ava?
Yes.
I know you do.
He shifts his grip from my hips and hooks his hands over my shoulders before he crashes forward again and again, yelling in fulfillment each and every time. He reaches under me and glides over my quivering clit with his fingers. I scream and sink my teeth into my arm in desperation as my head starts to spin with a mixture of incredible pleasure and sharp stabbing pains. I can feel my climax approaching, and in a fraught attempt to seize it, I push back against him on each of his incessant blows.
Oh, no, you don't,
he growls, removing his fingers and withdrawing his cock. I cry out in anger as he yanks my hands from the headboard and spins me around, pushing me down on the bed. He straddles my stomach, trapping my arms by my side with his knees, and starts lashing his fist back and forth over his pulsing cock. I close my eyes.
Open your eyes, Ava,
he shouts, and grabs my hip bone, prompting me to scream and buck under him. You're a bastard! I throw him my evilest look. I'm going to get so drunk!
No, you're not.
He continues working himself over me as I press my lips together. He falls forward, bracing his free hand on the bed, and spills himself over my breasts on a loud yell that resounds around the whole bedroom. Panting above me, he slows his strokes as I wriggle futilely. My breasts are coated in his warm cum, my hair is all over the place, my makeup probably needs redoing, and I'm fit to burst with the immense pressure in my groin. I'm not a happy girl.
Do you want to come?
He asks, looking down at me, sweat coating his forehead. I'm going out, I bark, just to make it clear that I'm not bargaining with him on this. No way.
Stubborn woman.
He reaches down and wipes his palm all over my chest, spreading himself over every square inch of my torso.
My work here is done,
he says on a half smile, before leaning down and pressing his lips hard on mine. My lips part involuntarily, and I soak up the greedy lashes of his tongue, moaning, begging for more. But then he pulls back, and I thrash my head from side to side, flipping myself onto my front. I hear him laugh, and then he slaps my ass hard before he gets off the bed.
Don't shower.
I've not got time. I jump off the bed and set about sorting myself out. My blow-dried waves are now more of a tousled array of brunette, and my cheeks are flushed. I look well and truly fucked, which is ironic because I'm not. I clench my thighs together on a groan and grab a washcloth to wipe the remnants of Jesse from my chest. There is no wiping away the huge love bite on my boob. There will be no low-cut anything for me tonight, and not just because of the bruise on my chest. After refreshing my makeup and getting dressed, I walk down the stairs as quietly as possible. He is nowhere to be seen as I scan the vastness of the penthouse, so I tiptoe to the kitchen and poke my head around the archway.
You're not fucking wearing that.
My legs instantly kick into gear at the sound of that fierce voice, and I dash for the door, slamming it behind me to hinder his pursuit, while praying the elevator is open. I thank all that is holy and dive in the lift, punching the code in frantically. The doors shut just as I see Jesse's raging face appear through the tiny gape. I give him a cheeky wave and turn to look at myself in the mirror. Okay, so the grey Chloe number is a bit on the racy side, but my legs look incredible if I do say so myself. He asked for this. The elevator door opens and I scurry across the marble floor, searching for my keys as I go. He's got to get some clothes on and wait for the elevator to get back up to the penthouse, so I should be fine. I hear him before I see him. I turn and watch as he flies out of the foyer of Luso, looking like the devil himself. I clench my lips shut to suppress my laugh. He looks homicidal. He tears toward me, barefoot and gloriously naked except for his fine, tight boxer shorts. I stay where I am. I knew I wouldn't be going out in this dress. Whether he caught me here or at the bar, I was always going to be hauled home in disgrace and dressed in something more suitable by Jesse's standards. He grabs me and flings me up onto his shoulder, reaching up to hold the hem of my dress down before taking me straight back into Luso. It's just my fucking luck that I go and fall crazy in love with the most impossible woman in the fucking world. Evening, Clive.
Mr. Ward?
Clive nods without paying much attention to us.
Hello, Ava.
Hi, Clive. I sing through my laughter as Jesse gets in the elevator and punches the code in while muttering under his breath. Have you still not gotten that code changed?
Shut up, Ava.
Are we friends? I grin to myself.
No. He slaps my ass hard and I yelp. Don't fuck with me, beautiful girl. You should know by now. I always win.
I know. I love you.
I love you too, but you're a fucking pain in the ass.
We pull up outside Kate's super late, after I gained Jesse's approval on a blush dress and matching heels. But I very nearly got handcuffed to the bed again when he saw my engagement ring on the bedside table. Jesse made sure it made it onto my finger, but I managed to convince him to leave the necklace in the safe. I'm not comfortable with this dirty great big rock sitting on my finger as it is. The necklace added to the equation would tip me over the edge of nervousness. Kate comes barreling out of her house, and Jesse gets out, letting her in the back of the car.
Wow, I like this better than the Porsche, she says as she gets comfortable in the back. Don't tell Samuel I said that.
Come on then, let's have a look.
What?
I shift in my seat so I can see my fiery friend. She freezes and throws the back of Jesse's head a fearful look.
Oh shit.
It's fine. Jesse assures her. I gape at him.
She knew.
I needed one of your rings to make sure the size was right. He shrugs and keeps his attention on the road. I hear Kate sigh in relief.
Was it romantic? Show me.
She gestures for me to pass her my hand. I actually laugh, really hard, and Jesse looks at me out the corner of his eye, his lips pressed into a straight line as he weaves in and out of the traffic.
Yeah, it was romantic, I snort.
If you call handcuffs and being forced to swallow romantic. I thrust my hand at her.
Fucking hell!
She grabs my hand with both of hers and gets up close and personal with a diamond.
This is some serious special. So when's the wedding?
She drops my hand and fishes around in her bag, pulling out her compact mirror.
Shit, Ava, have you told your mum and dad?
Kate has just innocently hit on two very sore subjects.
Don't know and no.
Jesse shifts in his seat and flicks me a displeased stare. I ignore it. I'm not getting into this now. I turn back around in my seat to face Kate. Did you enjoy your evening?
Yes, it was fab.
She keeps her eyes in her mirror. What time did you wrap up?
I can't remember.
She pouts in the mirror and then flicks her big blues to me. Is there a point to this line of inquiry? Jesse laughs.
I think Ava would like to know if you enjoyed yourself upstairs after I took her home.
Kate slaps him on the shoulder. That, my friend, is none of your business.
Well, it is, but it isn't.
She laughs. I'm surrounded by crazy people. Jesse pulls up outside Baroque and gets out to free Kate from the back.
I'll get the drinks, she declares as she dances into the bar.
Jesse waits for me to come around to the pavement. He's brooding again, and it doesn't escape my notice that he has just given the doorman a nod. He pulls me into his chest and sucks in a deep breath from my hair.
Don't drink.
I won't. He pulls back and rests his forehead on mine.
I mean it.
I won't drink, I assure him. I'm not arguing. It will get me nowhere, except into his car and back at Luso before I blink.
I'll pick you up. Ring me.
He brushes my hair out of my face and kisses me deeply, a public display of ownership. I'm wearing a colossal diamond.
You don't get more claimed than that.
He seems so despondent. I almost don't want to leave him. But we have got to get over this unreasonable anxiousness at me being anywhere other than with him. I cup his face and kiss his stubble cheek. I'll ring you. Go for a run or something. I leave him on the pavement and mentally pray that he goes home, gets his running kit on, and does 12 laps of the Royal Parks. I smile sweetly at the doorman as I pass, and he cocks his head at me, giving me a knowing smile. I find Kate at the bar with Tom and Victoria, who are already being served. Victoria looks a little less sulky, and Tom looks delighted to see me. He's wearing a ridiculous pink and yellow candy-striped shirt.
Ava! He screeches. Wow, fabulous dress!
He croons as he strokes me.
Thanks.
God knows what his reaction would have been to the grey number.
What are you having, Ava? Victoria asks over her shoulder.
Wine, I blurt desperately, and all three of them laugh. We settle at a table, and I take my first relaxed sip of wine, gasping in pleasure and closing my eyes in appreciation. Oh, that is so good.
Oh, good Lord! What the hell is that?
Tom dives over the table and grabs my hand, and then proceeds to dribble all over my new friend.
The Adonis?
I shrug. I'm crazy in love.
You've known him, what, a month?
Victoria's disapproving tone riles me.
And he owns a sex club?
And, I spit at her, feeling defensive. She recoils at my hostility.
And nothing. I'm just saying.
She flops back on the stool.
When did this happen? The last I knew, you were just sleeping with him.
Tom mimics my own words.
Well, now I'm marrying him.
I yank my hand back and take refuge in my glass of wine. I'm conscious of the fact that I'm facing an Olympic gold medal-worthy interrogation from my parents and Dan. I don't need it from this lot, too. Oh, Dan's back tomorrow. With all of the spectacular events of the last few days, it had slipped my mind. A wave of guilt washes over me for forgetting his return, but it's soon replaced with a twinge of excitement, and then, just as quickly, replaced with dread. What will Dan make of all of this?
How's Drew?
Kate asks Victoria. I'm not so sure it's a sensible question, but I'm thankful for my friend's diversion tactic.
I wouldn't know, she answers haughtily. I'm not seeing him anymore. I have a date.
Tonight?
Tom asks, perplexed.
Yes.
Tom scoffs and sits back in his chair.
Well, thanks a lot. You're ditching me.
Victoria's eyes bulge at Tom's huffiness.
You don't think twice about casting me aside if you're offered a bit of action.
Her tone is reproachful, and quite rightly. He's abandoned Victoria on plenty of occasions when a gay man has flashed him a promising stare.
Still, there are 6 other days you could have picked. Who is it anyway?
He stirs his piña colada, trying his hardest to look bored.
Just a friend of a friend, she muses.
Oh, there he is.
She jumps up.
See ya.
She heads toward an average height, average looking guy at the bar, and they greet each other with an awkward kiss on the cheek and a handshake. She says something in his ear, and he nods before they leave.
That's a sensible move. We'd all be watching how the date progresses, and Tom would just be a total bitch.
Over the next hour, we laugh, chat about anything and everything, and drink. It's lovely. I'm reminded why I need to battle with my challenging man on this matter. I need my friends.
And how's Sam? Tom turns his attention to Kate.
Why? Do you still want to screw him?
She winks at me, and Tom flushes from head to toe, flashing Kate a dirty look.
No, he tuts and crosses his legs. I was just being polite. How's Jessie?
Why? You want to screw him too?
Kate jumps in with her tongue-in-cheek question, and I burst into laughter. Tom looks between us in disgust.
So, it's pick on Tom night, is it?
Looks like it, I say and raise my glass.
Tom, Jessie would blow your mind.
Ava, he gasps.
Oh, please.
I have to endure torturous stories of your sexual encounters.
Kate laughs.
I'm going for a fag if we're getting into Tom's sex life.
She jumps down from the stool and makes her way to the smoking area.
I need the lavatory,
Tom grumbles, and clears off to the toilets, leaving me people-watching, a pastime I usually enjoy. But then Matt comes into my field of vision, and I find myself ducking.
Shit!
My ring is suddenly burning through the flesh of my finger, and I'm breaking out in a sweat. I didn't reply to his apology text, and I know the slimy worm has been on the phone to my parents again. Just when I think I've evaded him, his beady eyes land on me like a kettlebell. I glance around the bar, mindful that the doorman could be watching out for me, and then return my eyes to Matt, catching a glimpse of a healing black eye. I mentally applaud Jessie, and suddenly wish I had relented and stayed at home with him.
Ava!
He greets cheerfully, as if nothing has happened, as if he hasn't been calling my parents and feeding them duff information. Well, duff-ish.
Matt, I think it's probably best if you leave.
I maintain a steady, firm voice.
Ava, please hear me out.
I couldn't be sorrier, really. I was a complete twat. I deserved everything. He shifts uncomfortably on his feet and stares into his pint glass.
If you're with someone else now, then I accept that. I'm gutted, but I accept it.
I keep my hands under the table, the ring firmly out of sight. I have to ask. I can't help it.
How do you know about Jessie?
His shocked eyes fly up from his pint glass.
So you're still seeing him then?
That's none of your business, Matt. And why are you ringing my parents, telling them a load of crap?
Is it crap?
Who have you been talking to?
No one.
he won't meet my eyes. But then he leans his elbows on the table and gets too close.
Ava, I still want you back.
My back straightens, and I flick my eyes to the entrance to make sure I'm not being spied on.
He's just told me that he has accepted it. How many times do we need to go over the same old crap?
I could kiss Tom when he returns from the toilets and gives Matt his roving eye, which Matt responds to by abruptly pushing himself away from the table, knocking my bag to the floor. I jump down from my stool.
Oh, darling!
Tom crouches down to help me gather my scattered possessions.
He's still hot,
he whispers to me on the floor. He's not. I screw my face up and rise to find Matt walking away, holding his hand up in a catch-you-later gesture.
Oh, where's he going? Tom exclaims, stamping his foot.
Hopefully to jump off a cliff, I mutter uncharitably under my breath. I finish my wine in one foul swig. After seeing Matt, I could do with another.
Matt's in here, Kate throws herself on the bar stool, and he has a black eye. High five, Jesse. Well, it's been a pleasure, girls, but I need some action tonight, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get it in here.
Tom throws a disgusted look in the general direction of all the blatantly straight men.
I'm going to Route 60. Wanna come? He asks hopefully.
No, Kate and I shout in unison, leaving us laughing and Tom stropping out of the bar in search of action.
Did the snake speak to you? Kate asks when she stopped chuckling.
He tried. I'm just about to volunteer bar duties when Tom flies back into the bar and collides with a table. He's huffing and puffing all over the place. Kate and I point frowns at him. He gets his breathing under control.
You will not believe who I've just seen.
Who? Kate asks before I have a chance to engage my mouth.
Sally.
His face breaks out into a big grin, and he glances over his shoulder before returning excited eyes to us.
Sally, wearing a miniskirt and low-cut top. A very tight, short miniskirt and a very low-cut top. She has a date.
Oh, I say a little surprised, but not because of the apparent outfit. I'm surprised because she was suicidal on Thursday.
What? Wallflower Sally? Boring office girl Sally? Kate asks.
Yes, I confirm. Tom, leave the girl alone. I return to my glass, promptly remembering that I want another.
I might get a picture.
Tom dances out of the bar, getting his phone from his pocket. I'll get the drinks. I slide off the stool and grab my purse.
Same again?
Do you need to ask? She rolls her eyes and waves her empty glass at me. I fight my way to the bar and wait my turn, attracting the attention of some muscle-pumped ponytailed slime ball, but I ignore his leering stare and order our drinks.
Hi, can I buy you a drink?
I glance around and smile sweetly.
No, thank you.
Come on, just one drink, he presses and moves in closer.
No, really, I've got it, but thanks.
The barman places one glass of wine on the bar.
I've just got to pop down to the cellar, we're out.
He leaves me at the bar with ponytailed guy dribbling all over me. I roll my eyes, not that the barman notices.
Maybe I could take you out sometime then.
He's really close now. I'm involved with someone, I say over my shoulder. He can't have missed the gigantic diamond on my finger. I take a swig of my wine.
And?
I turn toward him.
And I'm involved with someone.
I flash my ring, and he nods, but not in an accepting way. I think I've just made the challenge more interesting.
He's not here, though, is he?
No, lucky for you, he's not, I reply curtly, turning back toward the bar. I'm immensely relieved when I see the barman approaching. He places Kate's wine down, and I pass him a note, willing him to be quick. My skin is prickling under the leering eyes of the overinflated man next to me, so I take another long sip of my wine and try to blank him out. I'm beyond exasperated when the barman signals no change. He walks off to the end of the bar and starts faffing about in various tills. Ponytailed Creep moves in closer. If you were mine, you wouldn't be out of my sight. Oh, good God.
Listen, I've tried to be polite. Back off.
I think we could show each other a good time. He runs his fingertip down my arm. I jump, instantly furious with myself for appearing anxious, but then I'm distracted by the barman returning. Thank God. He hands me my change, and I grasp Kate's drink quickly, keen to escape this toad. Turning a bit too hastily, I drop my coins everywhere.
Fuck!
I place the glasses back on the bar and retrieve the coins within grabbing distance and leave whatever else there may have been. I'm not that desperate. I grab the drinks and catch my heel awkwardly, causing me to stagger slightly.
Shit!
I curse. Now he'll think I'm pissed and easy. I met with a twat again when I turned back around.
A bit drunk, sweetheart.
Fuck off.
I've tried to be patient.
Oh, feisty.
He laughs as I push my way past him, thinking how grateful he should be that Jesse isn't here. He would be flattened by now. I make it over to Kate and place the drinks down a bit too sloppily, spilling a considerable amount. I shake my head mildly and take my position on the bar stool, staggering again. Kate frowns at me. Shoes, I mutter.
Are you okay?
Kate leans forward, looking all concerned.
Yeah, I'm fine, I assure her.
I'm not drunk. This is only my third glass of wine.
Who was that idiot?
She nods in the direction of the self-proclaimed stud, as she has a sip of her fresh glass of wine.
Exactly that. An idiot, I say shortly. Anyway, you have some explaining to do.
I have?
Yes, you have. And don't you dare brush me off. What's going on?
She glugs down more wine, refusing to meet my eyes.
What are you talking about?
I feel myself getting a bit impatient with my fiery friend. She would never allow me to evade her questioning, and I wouldn't anyway. We tell each other everything.
I'm talking about you, Sam, and the manor.
Fun.
No, don't you dare.
I'm just having some fun, Ava.
What are you, the sex police?
So there's no feelings?
No.
You know, if you were me, you'd be twiddling your hair.
I take a long swig of my wine.
Okay, try and help me out. Being as you're refusing to open up, I'll dump my shit on you.
I value your opinion, I smile sweetly.
She ignores my snipe, her eyebrows shooting up.
This sounds serious.
It is. You know the developer of Luso, the one who asked me to dinner? Kate nods.
Yeah, the Dane. Handsome in a Scandinavian kind of way.
Yes, Michael. Jesse slept with his wife. He's going through a divorce at the moment.
No,
Kate leans in.
Yes, and now he's on some sort of revenge mission to turn Jesse over, and it looks like he's decided that I'm the best way to do this.
I've got to meet him, and I know it won't be work-related.
Oh, shit.
I know. The wife has been sniffing around, too.
What are you going to do?
I shake my head, taking another swig of my wine.
I don't know, just like I don't know what to do about that woman.
the one who turned up at the manor's anniversary.
Who is she?
Kate's eyes are widening by the second. I'm not surprised. This is information overload. Her name is Coral. Do you remember that nasty man at the manor the day we found the communal room?
Oh, yes. Jesse crushed him. It was frightening, Ava.
That's her husband. She asks Jesse to be the third in a threesome. She fell in love with him, left her husband, and now has nothing. She wants Jesse. She turned up at Luso and also rang his phone. I've told Jesse about neither. But I answer the call. She warned me off.
Oh, my fucking God.
Kate flops back on her stool, and I take another glug of wine. Hearing it all out loud, it sounds ridiculous, crazy, unreal. I see Kate's face light up as she follows the path of someone approaching behind me. I don't have to turn around to see who it is.
Ladies!
I look up and see Sam grinning from ear to ear. What's he doing here? It's supposed to be a girl's night out, and Kate still hasn't given her verdict on my current screwed-up situation. He shoves his tongue in Kate's ear, and I huff to myself. The old Kate would never let any man invade her girl time. I pick up my wine and down the rest, watching over the rim of my glass as Kate accepts Sam's affection willingly. If she tries to tell me tomorrow that this is just fun, then I'll challenge her. Hard. I'm going to the toilet, I inform them.
Okay,
Kate says idly. I stand and turn toward the entrance, reaching up to rub my temples in an attempt to soothe my thumping head. As I make my way through